time now for the Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by Tylock George Eye Care.
Thank you, Craig. Always a thrill to be out here, especially today because we have Mike. Do you prefer Mike or Michael?
You can go with Mike. Let's keep it casual.
Okay, keep it real cash. But we have Mike here, and he's got some things for us that are particularly hitting hard for me because I'm on a Curb Your Enthusiasm kick right now, to where I've been binge-watching Curb Your Enthusiasm, and they have like a huge collection of Curb Your Enthusiasm stuff that's up for auction right now, and will be for the next 3 days, is it?
Closes this weekend.
So what did you bring for us, Mike? First of all, hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Look at that head of hair he's got. Isn't that amazing?
Full head of hair.
I started to feel like Dale Hansen now, always commenting on people's head of hair.
Always a pleasure to be here, but especially now that you guys have elevated from radio to podcast.
I know.
Yes.
We've so elevated. Yeah. So the barrier for entry was huge.
You guys have this glimmer to you didn't have last time. I work in the sports department, but we have an incredible entertainment department that sells props and costumes and memorabilia, and they're late sleepers, so they couldn't make it in, so I'm representing them. But we've had a partnership the last few years with HBO, and we've had a lot of auctions with their props. We did Succession, we did Game of Thrones, and this weekend we have an auction with Curb Your Enthusiasm props and costumes, Barry, Big Little Lies, so some real favorites. But I brought some Curb stuff. I'm also a big fan. And we're going to start with something from the last episode, which is the episode where Larry's on trial for violating election integrity. Very topical. A bunch of microaggressions, of course, lead to this. And this is a free Larry hat that Ted Danson wore in the episode and signed. So it's from the last episode, which collectors always love the bookend items, the first or the
really?
Last.
Really? I didn't know that. So that's a thing.
So same in sports, like rookie stuff or final season stuff always has a higher level of interest. But what's interesting about this is for Curb fans, Free Larry became a big thing. In the HBO merch shop, you can buy hats and shirts and things that say Free Larry. But this one was in the episode and worn by Ted Danson and signed by him.
Oh, that's great. Look at this. Can I touch it?
You may.
Oh, man, this has Ted Danson's essence in it right here.
One of my favorite items in that auction is they had the episode where Ted Danson was starring as General Lee.
Yes, so you guys have the big cutout.
The movie cutout of him.
Which is so ridiculous. I don't know if you remember this, George, but yeah, Ted Danson, of course, is at the time when Larry and his wife have split up, and now Ted Danson has become his romantic rival with his ex-wife, Cheryl.
Okay.
With Larry's ex-wife. But Ted Danson is starring as General Lee in this ridiculous...
epic biopic.
Yeah, epic. But yeah, so you guys have the big stand-up. It's not out here in front of us right now, but yeah.
It's too valuable to bring
it
out here.
So I was thinking about that. Like, I'm going to bid on some of these Curb Your Enthusiasm items, no doubt about it. Because the good thing about it is that you guys have enough of them that you can pick these up for a pretty reasonable price. And
right.
For someone who's a huge fan, it's a real opportunity this weekend.
Yeah, later my boss, Chris, is going to talk about the stuff in our platinum auction, which is the $3 million Babe Ruth watch, the $4 million Mickey Mantle jersey. A select few can afford things like that, but these are a little bit more on the affordable side.
Right, and I thought about, I'd love to get that ridiculous Ted Danson stand-up poster. But then for a public figure to be displaying that in his house, it's like, it looks like General Lee.
It's problematic.
And it's very problematic.
No, I think you ought to bet on it. It's just a TV show.
Okay, well, you get it, George. You get that one.
Well,
I'll get the Free Larry hat.
I think it'll mean more to you.
Well, maybe you could buy it for George.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
Put it in his office.
Yeah, I'll keep installing it in your house. You keep trying to move it. But yeah, so the Free Larry hat right now, this is, and I'm assuming that this is open for...
It's open for bidding. Right. It's got a couple days left.
HA.com.
And then over there behind Junior's, one of my other favorite pieces. That's from Season 7, Episode 7, The Tombstone.
Oh, yes, look
at
that.
That's where Larry's mother passed.
Oh, yeah.
And they go to the funeral, and Larry noticed that, you know, it says born and the born date, and then it says past, P-A-S-T, instead of P-A-S-S-E-D. And he's making a big deal about it, and his dad reveals that he saved $50 by having two less letters.
He's mad at his dad for that. so. People get the point, Larry. It's she's passed.
But what a wild display piece to have in your house. I mean, it's a full-size tombstone. It looks real. It's not as heavy, so you could easily maneuver it around.
What is that made of?
So it's like a fiberglass. You could easily lift it up if you want it.
Gosh, this is so great. I'm going to buy every single one of these things.
You want this stuff, the Mocha Joe's stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool because it's all these props and cups and bags from Mocha Joe's, which went over several seasons, and Mocha Joe was an antagonist of Larry. They always had issues with Larry didn't like the coffee. The tables weren't clean enough.
Tables were wobbly. The coffee wasn't hot enough. He battled with Mocha Joe so much so that he opened up a spite store right next to it. He opened up Latte Larry's right next to Mocha Joe's. And so they go back and forth all the time.
But it's a ton of Mocha Joe's stuff, so you could have a party or bring them into your office, you know, and have
that's Mocha Joe's stuff in those bins.
There's bins of it. So,
oh, wow.
You know, and that's going to go for a couple $100, you know, so... just keep it in your house, and you know, it's something that Curb fans would notice when they came in. And then lastly here, you may remember an episode, season 12, where Bruce Springsteen got COVID.
Yes.
And everyone's there supporting him, and Larry has the massage therapist sneak him in. So we have, in one lot, it has some of the shirts the fans were wearing in support of Bruce, but then the blanket that is gifted to Bruce Springsteen. So Bruce actually used this blanket here.
Bruce Springsteen used blanket.
And was on Curbs. I think that's one of the more unique items in the auction.
Right. Oh, these are great. I've looked at it, you guys. How many items do you have from Curb?
There's probably 50 or 60 items.
Yeah, it's a lot of them. And then also Barry stuff, as you mentioned, that's in this auction?
Yes, in that auction, Big Little Liars, and Our Flag Means Death, the Taika Waititi show on HBO.
Right.
What's the biggest Barry item you had? Because I was a huge fan of Barry.
They've got some of his full costumes, and I would say those are the best ones.
Okay.
You know, and that's something else where, you know, it's not going to go for $100,000. So, you know, if you're Bill Hader's dimensions, you could even wear those things, which I wouldn't recommend wearing Mickey Mantle's jersey from 1960.
Right.
But something like this, you know, in my opinion, at least, you know, if you were going to a costume party, you'd one-up your friends by, oh, nice, you know, Barry costume. This is what he actually wore here.
I feel like I might be Bill Hader's dimensions.
I would agree that you're probably pretty close.
Probably pull that off.
And can you give us a little bit of sample of what we'll be looking at 8:15 today is when we're doing another segment with you. What are some of the biggest items in these that Chris will be talking about?
So we have what is already the most valuable basketball card of all time, the Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant dual logo man, one of one. It's at $6.2 million already, and it closes on Saturday as well. So that's already passed the record for a modern card and a basketball card. And then one of my favorites is Babe Ruth's 1923 pocket watch, which that was the first World Series title for the Yankees. Now players get rings, but back in the day it was fashionable to have a pocket watch. So they've got Ruth's pocket watch. And then behind me there is actually my favorite. It's Mr. T's script from
Rocky III.
Wow. And it is heavily annotated by Mr. T with changes he made to the script and what attitude he should have in scenes. Almost every page has some notes, including the page where my favorite part in the show, in the movie, is the reporter asked him, "What's your prediction for the fight?" And he says, "My prediction, pain."
But
the line was longer, and he crossed out the rest of it and just has his response as pain.
Really? Man, I was so into that movie when I was a kid.
Oh, yeah.
Me and my sister memorized every line of it, and I thought Clubber Lang was the most intimidating character ever.
I thought about how great it would be to watch the movie
and
while reading through the script.
Oh, yeah.
See what he changed. That's cool. You tell us about the Frank Zappa guitar real quick.
Yeah, so that's Frank Zappa's Baby Snakes was the name of it, and it's a guitar he used for years and years, a custom-made guitar. A lot of very fervent Frank Zappa fans out there, and, you know, if you're a fan of his, that's the guitar to own right there.
Yeah, I mean, that is the iconic Frank Zappa guitar. I remember him playing that so much. It was late 70s, mid-70s, late 70s, he's playing that. It's a custom SG type guitar. with the zebra pickups in the neck position, and then the regular humbucker, the dual cream-colored humbucker in the
sometime
bridge.
If you have just a little extra time, just sit down and listen to Frank Zappa for about an hour or so.
You want to make my brain go crazy?
Yeah, I think it would. Especially if you played this song. I told Tyler to cue this up. It Can't Happen Here. Have you ever heard that song?
It can't happen here. It can't happen here. I'm telling you, my dear, that it can't happen here. Because I've been checking it out, baby. I checked it out a couple of times. And I'm telling you,
I think Zappa fans would say he has some more impressive.
Yes, yes, yes. Indeed.
Yes, yes,
yes. He played. He actually used the Baby Snakes guitar on this track. They just turned it all the way down.
Way down in the mix.
Turned it way down in the mix. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate that. And people can see all the items at HA.com. And you can find something affordable that you can buy and have a piece of history.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's the ODEC. Morning, it's 8:22 on the ticket. The Musers on the road to this morning at Heritage Auctions World Headquarters, Airport Freeway and Valley View. The doors are open now if you want to come in and view some of these Summer Platinum Night Sports Auction items. And to talk about these items, we welcome once again to the program our old friend Chris Ivey from Heritage Auctions. Going to take us through some of these signature sports items. Hi, Chris.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm great.
Why are you smiling?
I'm glad to
You're
be
up
here.
To something this morning, Chris.
We always appreciate you guys having us out here, and I know some of these items are fascinating. Been looking forward to seeing them since I heard we were coming out here for this. Where do you want to start?
Well, we'll start with the card that's on the cover of the catalog, and it is a first. We've talked about a lot of items over the years, a lot of sports collectibles, but we've never talked about a modern card. And what's interesting about this is just, as far as modern cards go, this is the pinnacle. And we'll see that, the price at the end of this weekend.
And when you say modern, what era are you talking about?
So this was actually made in 2007, 2008.
So like the
last... When does the modern era start, though?
Really, it's kind of 1980. Uh-huh. Yeah, anything after 1980 is considered modern era. Now, that's going to sneak back up on us. You know, soon enough, it's going to be 1990, but... But as far as card collecting goes, it's really kind of 79 and prior is considered vintage, and 80 to today is considered modern. Mm-hmm. And this is so, you know, everybody that collects cards, everyone's heard of Topps, right?
Right.
In 1989, Upper Deck got involved, and they brought a lot of innovations in. And in the early 90s, Upper Deck started doing basketball. And that's what this is. This card was made in 2007, 2008, and it's part of the Upper Deck Exquisite series. And that was Upper Deck started that around 2003, and they started incorporating game used jerseys. They're cutting them up, putting them inside the card. They were working with athletes to get autographs directly on these cards as well. So they brought a lot of innovation, which has led to a lot of other higher end product coming from that time. But the big thing with this is they were charging $500 a pack in 2003, and that just blew everybody's mind. What are you doing? This is card collecting is for kids. Why are you charging $500 a pack? But this was geared towards, you know, higher end collectors that wanted this unique one of a kind type of items, and so they were putting all these items in, autographs, cut jerseys, that type of thing, and so this one is called the Logo Man, and you'll notice that the pieces of the jersey that are included in there are the logos on the jersey.
Ah.
So there's a full logo on there, and there's only obviously one per jersey. So
the Jerry West NBA logo.
That's right. And so this one is Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant, and it's the only dual Logo Man card that includes both Jordan and Kobe. So as far as modern card collectors go, this is it.
Wow.
This is the pinnacle. It's the coolest Upper Deck Exquisite series, which was from 2003 to 2009, and this is the only Logo Man that has Kobe and Jordan on it.
So were all the Logo Man cards one of a kind?
Yes.
So there was no three of any of the combinations.
Right. Now, sometimes there are triple Logo Mans where they'll put three players on there. So there's one with, LeBron and Jordan and another, great player of the era. But this is the only one with only Kobe and Jordan. Yeah.
And how is – so, I mean, unlike even Mantle rookie cards and things like that go for high prices – there are multiple of those.
Right. Exactly. And not necessarily multiple in high grade. But the interesting thing is the grade doesn't even matter on this card.
Yeah, because there's only one.
There's only one. So this is graded a 6 out of 10 by PSA. So, you know, the grade's not – I mean, it looks beautiful. It looks like it's – you know, they're very harsh on the grading. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the grade doesn't really matter for the price. And it is the – currently, as it sits, the most expensive modern card of all time. It's at $6.7 million right now.
Wow. I'm holding
I can't believe that you're holding that. You guys really ought to put it in like a plastic case or something, because it seems like Craig just holding it raw like that.
Oh, no, I just bent a corner. But it doesn't matter. It's a one of one.
There you go.
Yeah, you just said the condition didn't matter, yeah. So we're fine. It's in a case, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, that's incredible.
Yeah, that is. And so how is Kobe stuff doing? Like, is Kobe stuff always high priced? Whole generation that Kobe is their guy.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, and he's got an incredible following, and he's very popular. And so, yeah, his rookie jersey, I think, just sold earlier this year in an auction for north of $5 million.
Mm, whoa.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Speaking of Lakers jerseys.
Yeah, we have one in front of us.
You have one in front of us. It's very painful for Metroplex sports fans.
Me as well. Absolutely. I'm still sad. My wife makes fun of me about it. Yeah, this is Luka's Los Angeles Lakers jersey. And the reason I have it here is because we're working with the Lakers. They're working with us to auction off their entire locker room. So they've got all their lockers that they used at Staples Center / Crypto from 2019 through the 2025 season.
Whoa.
So we've got the carpet from the middle of the room. We've got their lockers. We've got a lot of their jerseys. And these are all part of the Platinum Night auction that's closing this weekend. All these items are from the Lakers collection are closing on Sunday night. But yeah, if you want LeBron James's locker in your man cave or Luka's locker. Dang. Or Anthony Davis or any of those guys that played over the last six seasons, check it out at the auction.
Is this a game-worn Luka jersey that we have here?
It is. Yeah, this one's estimated at $30,000 plus, I think it's currently sitting right around $20,000.
I guess it'd be too big for him now that he's trimmed down.
It looks like a summer dress that a woman would wear. It's so long and thin.
Good thing they tuck him in.
Yeah.
And you've got a Yankees jersey just behind us.
I do.
That famous number 7.
Sevens are wild.
Yeah, this is an incredible Mickey Mantle jersey. It's fresh to the hobby. It's the first time it's making its appearance at auction. It's from the 1960 season, photo matched on Mantle's back. He wore it in the 1960 All-Star game, actually. And this one's estimated at $4 million plus. So,
wow.
Yeah, yeah. I remember we started talking. I mean, I came on the hard line in 2004 with a 1963 Mantle jersey. And it sold in that auction for, I think it was $240,000, which was a great number at the time.
Yeah.
But just think about that. 20 years ago, if you would have bought that, they're selling, trading for about $4 million plus now.
And speaking of Yankees, you have a watch.
This is an incredible piece. We've actually sold this before. We sold this back in 2014. So I think I might have talked with you guys about it previously. But this is a 1923 Yankees championship watch. And it was presented to Babe Ruth. And 23 was the first Yankees championship. And interestingly, the Yankees, this was the third year in a row that the Yankees had played the New York Giants in the World Series. And not only did they play them three World Series in a row, but in 1921 and 1922, they were sharing the Polo Grounds together because Yankee Stadium hadn't been built yet. Huh. So they had to share the confines of the Polo Grounds, go to the World Series against the New York Giants, and they had lost in 21 and 22. And had never won a World Series. So in 23, the Yankees opened up Yankee Stadium. It's known as the house that Ruth built. And then Ruth takes him to the World Series. He has an incredible season. You know, 41 home runs, I think it was. Batted, you know, nearly 400. And this is the championship watch that was presented to Babe Ruth. It was one of his most prized possessions.
I just dropped it in my tongue.
No.
Yeah, I think I can fish it out of there.
That coffee will come out of that.
Oh, gosh, that's fine. I'm so sorry.
I make Chris nervous every time I make that joke.
But this is cool.
This is his world champion ring, the equivalent of it back then.
And now rings are almost that big.
Right, that's true.
It's got his name engraved on the back. And
how much is this thing?
Well, on the interior, it says, to my pal Charles Schweffel. And you know, Ruth kept it for his life. But as he was dealing with cancer in the late 1940s, Charlie Schweffel was a good friend of his and would often accompany him to the hospital. So this was something that he gifted to Charlie in the last year of his life, and then it eventually made its way into a private collection. And then we offered it in 2014. I think it sold for around $750,000 at the time, $750,000. And right now it's sitting at a little bit over $1.2 million, and we're expecting it to sell for in the $3 million range when the final hammer falls.
I cannot get over what a sure bet memorabilia is for an investment.
It's been money.
It just keeps going up and keeps going up.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons for it. A lot of it is just the authentication of this material has gotten so much better. It was a lot more of the Wild West in the 80s and 90s. But like anything else, you know, the people that did have the knowledge and that were investing, obviously a lot of these guys did very well. You know, some of the finest Yankees jerseys we've sold, you know, are belong to a collection of a doctor in the Northeast. And, you know, he just loved the Yankees, and he taught himself about this stuff in the 80s and 90s. And did he make some mistakes along the way? Absolutely. He bought some things that turned out to be no good, but he bought a lot of things that...
A lot of OJ stuff. And...
No, he stuck with baseball.
Okay.
So we've got
OJ's Ginsu collection that didn't go over.
No. We've got a cool one here. This is one of my favorite pieces. So everyone's heard of a lot of people have heard of the famous Honus Wagner card, which was part of the T206 set. And that was produced between 1909 and 1911. And by the American Tobacco Company. And they produced over 15 different types of tobacco. They would put these lithographic baseball cards in with the tobacco pouches. And it cost a lot of money at the time. It was an expensive process to do this lithography and create these cards, but they figured out that people really liked to collect them, and people, you know, got brand loyalty based on that. So this is a photograph. It was taken by a very famous photographer, Charles Conlon. He's the same photographer that did the Honus Wagner photo on that card. And this one's actually of Ty Cobb. And Ty Cobb was one of the most famous players of the time, Hall of Famer. He had four different cards in the T206 set. And this is his portrait, which was he had a red one and a green one in the T206 set. The interesting thing about this is about 15 years ago, 20 years ago, baseball photography wasn't that big of a category. You probably could have bought this for, maybe $10,000, $15,000 at the time. This one is estimated at $500,000 plus.
Wow, what happened?
The category grew quite a bit, and then people figured out that these are very scarce. This is what's known as a Type 1. So this was printed within 2 to 3 years of when the initial photograph was taken. And we know that based on this cabinet. Back then, they called these cabinet cards, and they would paste the photo on a larger cardboard background so they could set it up in their ottomans or armoires and that type of thing and look at the photo. But what's really cool about this is there's only three of them known. And we sold one of those three in 2019, and it went for $400,000. And that caused someone that owned this one to reach out to us. And that person was part of Cobb's family. So this is Cobb's personal example.
Wow. It
comes to us with a letter of provenance from Ty Cobb's grandson. And it was gifted to him by his grandmother in the early 1960s after Cobb passed away. So he's held it for all this time. He never, it was just something, it was a sentimental item to him, and he's just sitting in his room. But then when he reached out to us a few years ago and I told him, hey, this item's now worth $500,000, that got him thinking a little bit. And then, you know, he can't really enjoy it with that type of value. Now it goes to a safe deposit box.
Right.
So, you know, he's like, okay, well, I better just, you know, let's move on from it. So this is only the third one known, and it's coming directly from Ty Cobb's grandson. Very cool piece.
So what would be would they just give them to family and friends, or why would this be in the public? I guess they didn't sell them publicly, did they? These pictures, these cabinet cards?
Yeah, I think the photographs were taken, the portraits were taken for the purpose of creating these baseball cards.
I know that's why the portrait was taken, but then why they make the big print of it like this?
Oh, I think just for a display purpose. Yeah. I mean, photography was still unique at that period. Not everybody had a good picture of themselves, so you couldn't use your iPhone to pull it out and get a selfie.
So they could just give it to the player.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Wow,
this is all fascinating stuff. And if anyone wants to see these items or bid on these items, the Summer Platinum Night Sports Auction Go to ha.com, ha.com, Heritage Auctions. Chris, thanks for having us out. Thanks for showing us all this great stuff.
Absolutely love it.
Chris Ivey from Heritage Auctions.